You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 20th of February 2023 and you're listening to me, Stan Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we're going to have a look at books today, particularly books that are targeted at children which are promoting transgender issues. And we had a bit of a discussion about these transgender issues last week. I did an interview with Off Grid Ireland with Clive there as well, No Chance Clive, Scottish guy talking about the Scottish gender bill, the transgender bill and all those issues. And the Irish guy was quite surprised, very surprised to hear that this is being targeted at children, that teachers can socially transition children from the age of 4 without telling their parents. He was thinking that it was at the age of 16. So it seems as if Ireland is not quite as far along this degenerate path as the United Kingdom. Hopefully they will be able to put a stop to it by drawing attention to it. But if listeners are interested in hearing that, it was a good interview, I think. I was on there for about an hour and three quarters, mainly discussing this issue and historical issues as well. Really nice guy, Gavin, the interviewer. And also it was good to talk with Clive, No Chance as well, somebody else who certainly seems to be switched on and have a good understanding of these issues. But today I want to talk about these books that are being targeted at children. And this is because there's been a report that's just been put out by Transgender Trend into this. Children as young as 3 are being targeted by a surge of new books on transgender issues. Transgender itself used to be called transvestite, and it used to be a male who dressed in female clothes. And the reason for this was that it was some kind of a fetish. It was a sexual thing. The idea that this would be talked about with children and promoted to children. If you were to say that is what was going to be going on in the 2020s, to somebody in the year 2000, they would be absolutely scandalized, and they just wouldn't believe you. And it's not just this idea of wearing clothes, it's this idea that a male can actually change into being a female, which we know is not possible because men have XY chromosomes, females have XX chromosomes. It's a big difference, that chromosome does make a big difference. It means that you cannot change who you are, basically. Yet we are encouraging children to believe that they can, which is incredibly cruel. And it also means that parents are saying things to their children that the children obviously know the parents are lying to them. They instinctively know that the parents and the teachers are lying. Imagine what that does to a child. And we have books promoting these untruthful ideas for whatever reason. I'm sure some of the people that are promoting this think that they're really helping here, and they want to prevent people from growing up and committing suicide, and they believe all this stuff that they've been told, all this emotional stuff that tugs at the heartstrings. But what they're effectively doing is they're just confusing children and giving them false hopes and putting them on a pathway to castration or to having their breasts cut off. I mean, it's horrendous. You think they're castrating little boys in certain states in America are doing this. And you've got judges that are saying that it's okay to do this. And these books that promote these ideas, that's where they lead to a child being castrated. Publishing experts say there are now scores of titles aimed at under-11s, introducing concepts such as men being mothers and children changing gender. Many are also included on primary school reading lists after being promoted by LGBTQ campaigners. So this is being targeted at all children, not just children that they think might be susceptible to transgenderism. It's being targeted at all children. And this idea that a man can give birth and a man can be a mother. And there's a big difference between a mother and a father. This idea that, it doesn't matter just so long as you've got one parent, and a mother can be just as good as a father, is just a nonsense. You need both the mother and the father. You need both the male aspect and you need the female aspect. And females that claim to be men that have been born into the wrong bodies, that then go on to have children because they still have functioning organs, still have a functioning womb, and yet they claim to be a man. Well, that just proves that they're not really a man inside a woman's body, doesn't it? Because otherwise they wouldn't have this desire to have a child. Men don't have a desire to carry a child because it's not possible for men to carry a child. So that desire just doesn't exist within men. But it exists with these transgender men that are effectively biological women that are wanting to present as men. Yet if they then go on to have a child, that's obvious that they are still a woman, surely. Yet children are being taught that's not so, and that men can somehow become mothers. Transgender Trend, a campaign group concerned about the sharp rise in young people changing gender, analysed 60 LGBTQ books aimed at primary age children. And that was a time when if you talked about homosexual books, then obviously they would have to be targeted at people over the age of 21. You're talking about sexual issues here. What they're trying to do here is they're trying to say that people are just born that way, and if they're born that way, that means that when they're a child, they're also homosexual, and that must mean that they somehow have different needs to other children. I don't think they have different needs to other children. I'm very concerned also that there is this sharp rise in children presenting with gender dysphoria, because that's what it is. And it says here there's a sharp rise in young people changing gender. Effectively, what that means is there's been a sharp rise in young people unhappy with the gender that they're in, dysphoric in the body that they're in, which must be an absolutely awful situation. Surely the concern should be about reducing this number. And surely they should be looking and saying, well, is there a connection with the promotion of transgenderism? Is there a connection between that and this increase in the number of children that are presenting as transgender, increasing numbers of children that have this gender dysphoria? I mean, it seems so obvious to many of us that that's what's causing this. And you would imagine that the state would think, hang on a minute, why have we had this sudden increase? Couldn't there be a connection between the two? But they just seem to ignore that. And another thing that really worries me about this, you've got so many of these lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexuals that are promoting this to children. And you would think that if they were being objective, they would be concerned about this as well. And they would say, well, it's not a great thing being gender dysphoric. It means that you're very depressed because you feel that you're in the wrong body. And surely you would not wish that upon anyone. I mean, you would imagine that somebody who's not transgender, you would imagine that somebody with gender dysphoria really wouldn't wish that on anyone else. So why is it that they are promoting it then? Why aren't they trying to do what they can to get people or children to be happy in the body that they are in? Why are they promoting it in this way? And if they say, well, we're not promoting it, we're just doing the equality thing, we're just trying to get people to be more inclusive. Well, wouldn't you think that they would say, well, at what price though? If we've got this huge increase in children that are ending up being castrated and cutting their breasts off, wouldn't it be better not to have that? And shouldn't the transgenders just feel a little bit less included? Is it really so important that we have to sacrifice our children just so that transgenders can feel a little bit more included in society? I mean, surely when people see these transgenders, they're courteous to them. They understand that, you know, they have some serious psychological issues there, and you have compassion for them. Why is it that we have to also promote this to children? Shelley Charlesworth, who led the investigation, told the Mail on Sunday, trans picture books are a completely new phenomenon. This cannot be overemphasized. Telling young children that hairstyles and clothes will change their sex and that other children will then believe it to be true is a cruel deception. So that's what's being promoted in these books, just telling these children that they can actually change their sex. And then, of course, when the other children don't believe it, they believe the other children to be at fault, and the teacher will be calling the other children transphobic, and there could be investigations by social services. That's the sort of thing that went on in the Isle of Wight when the school started socially transitioning some children in the class, and the children's classmates said, well, you were a little boy yesterday, we were playing football with you. How can you be a little girl today? And the children were accused of being transphobic, and the parents were accused of being transphobic, and the parents had to take the children out of the school, basically for pointing out that the emperor wears no clothes, for pointing out the truth that a little boy that was a little boy yesterday is going to be a little boy today, no matter what clothes that he's wearing. It is a cynical trick. As it says here, it's a cruel deception. They say it's a cynical trick to use on children who are at an age when fantasy play is at its most intense. I mean, this is the really sick thing about this. You know, kids will play, they'll play dress up, they'll play fantasy games. And when they play dress up, there is this risk that they're going to be encouraged to do that and encouraged to believe that they're in actual fact the opposite gender. Probably by teachers that supposedly, or they probably do believe that they have the child's best interests at heart, but what they're actually doing is encouraging something that should not be encouraged. As Clive was saying last week in this interview, with them trying to ban this conversion therapy with transgenders, that could mean that if you have a child that does this fantasy dress-up thing, and the teachers decide that they're actually transgender, if the child then doesn't want to be transgender, wants to go and play football, well, the child will be deemed to be not be in his right mind, that he's been converted into doing that by conversion therapy somewhere, by society. So a child could conceivably get taken by the state and forced to take hormones, because they could say, well, this isn't the preferred gender of the child. You've been got to somehow by somebody and encouraged to believe that you're not a transgender. I mean, it's a terrible thing that's going on here with our most innocent children. And surely you would think that if these transgenders were really objective, they would not want there to be more children that have gender dysphoria. They would not want more children to go through what they went through. You know, what this is all about is they try to promote this idea that they're trying to make life a little bit easier for children who do have gender dysphoria, because it's supposed to be very, very uncomfortable for them going through that. And you would think that these adult transgenders would not want children to go through what they went through if what they're telling us is true. And surely if these books have tied in with an increase in the number of these children with gender dysphoria, that some of them would be speaking up and saying, look, this isn't a good idea. It makes me wonder about the mental state of these transgenders, and we're doing so much to make them feel included. But do they really care that much about the rest of society if none of them are standing up and saying, look, this is a terrible thing. There's been a huge increase in kids with gender dysphoria, and it's just coincidentally happened at the same time as we started promoting it to them. One book entitled Bye Bye Binary tells the tale of a baby who refuses to say, when asked, if they are a boy or a girl, and instead responds, what's it to ya? The baby also declares they are ready to smash gender norms as they're only social constructs anyway. So this is what's being programmed into the children. And remember, this is being targeted at all of them. This isn't just books that the few lesbian or gay parents are showing to their children. This is being targeted at all of them, encouraging them to want to smash gender norms, whereas gender norms should be reinforced. We want children to be happy within their gender, surely. We don't want them to be smashing gender norms and then becoming gender dysphoric. And see, none of this adds up. What we're being told they're trying to do is actually causing the problem. Unless what they're saying is we really want to actually increase the number of transgenders, we want there to be more children that are gender dysphoric, then it doesn't make sense what they're doing. She's My Dad is aimed at children aged 3 to 7 and tells the story of a child whose parent has transitioned from male to female. So the kids are being encouraged to believe that this can actually happen, that a man can turn into a woman. The 6-year-old girl protagonist explains, "My dad's name is Harley. She used to be a he, but now she is a she. Last year she did this thing called transition." Does it talk about the poor mother there and what the mother has to go through when the father decides that he's a woman? It must be absolutely awful for the spouses of these people that get this confusion. Meanwhile, a government-funded LGBT equality program for primary schools run by the education consultancy EqualiTeach recommends trans-themed books, including But I'm Not a Boy and 10,000 Dresses. And it's also encouraging children to resist their parents, isn't it? It's encouraging children to be argumentative, to think that it's cool to go against what their parents want. And then you tie that in with the fact that you've got teachers that are being told that they should be doing this and then not telling the parents. It's going to drive a wedge between children and between their parents and between children and their classmates. Judith Nemeth, a former teacher and director of the Values Foundation, which works to protect traditional values in faith schools, warned, "Children learn about life through stories. Using narratives to promote politically driven, non-scientifically based notions is not only confusing, it's irresponsible." I think it's really cruel because these children are encouraged to believe that they're the opposite gender. They're encouraged to believe that they will stop feeling so confused and upset if they start dressing as the opposite gender. They're encouraged to believe that they can actually change sex. Then they're encouraged to go on these puberty blockers, which I think even if you do stop taking them and you don't experience a proper puberty, and whatever you end up with afterwards is going to be a hideously different from what everybody else has. And most of the time, once they've got on those puberty blockers, they then go on to have organs amputated. And all of that follows on from this encouragement to believe that they're in the opposite gender and that they can actually change sex. And then by the time they get to an adult and they realize that their bone structure is different, that their proportions are different, that their pelvis is different, that their feet are much larger, and that they won't be able to actually pass as a woman, that is really shocking for them. And that's what leads them to feel suicidal, because they realize that they cannot go back from this path. And what they've done is they've actually turned themselves into something that doesn't exist anywhere else, in history. When you think they've taken these puberty blockers and the opposite sex's hormones, and they've got a body that feels even worse to them because it doesn't look how it should look. I mean, some of these detransitioners that have had castration and had removals, I mean, in their dreams, they're normal, they're intact, and then they wake up every day and there's parts missing. And you imagine what it's like to be a child and you've gone through these puberty blockers, you've taken the opposite sex's hormones, and then you've realized that you want to get pregnant, but you can't get pregnant, or the other way around. And when you're in your dreams, you're somebody else, and when you wake up, you're somebody else completely. And just the confusion that this encourages surely there should be some of these trans and these LGB people that are saying, why would you want to see this increase? Surely gender dysphoria is not a good thing. Why are they talking about celebrating it? Why are they trying to draw links with drag queens and making out that it's a fantastic thing? Of course, a drag queen and a transgender are two different issues, but they are tied in together because effectively you've got a man presenting as a woman there, and they're encouraging younger and younger children to dress up as drag queens. This is before you even get into the sexual aspects of this, where you've got adult men that are encouraging children to believe that they are homosexual. And of course, there's bound to be nefarious interests that are involved in this. There's bound to be pedophiles that are looking at this and thinking, well, this is great. I can get involved in this and I can get access to children. In fact, it's easier for me to get access to children if I identify as an LGBTQ activist, and there's going to be less inquiries into my fetishes. I can actually carry out my fetish in broad daylight and in front of everyone. And all you have to do is look at John K. Euler's Twitter feed to see what's going on here. He talks about all these red flags, talks about pedophiles in prison and how they see what's going on with the transgender deception and the drag queen, and how it's basically just breaking down all these boundaries and making it easier for pedophiles to gain access to children. And of course, I'm not saying all drag queens are pedophiles. I'm not saying all LGBTQ are. But the fact is that how would you know the difference when you've got naked drag queens in pictures with young boys under the age of 10 dressed up as women? Surely, if you see a naked man with a young boy and that's not the boy's father, surely that should be a red flag. But no, apparently it's not, because it's not when it's a drag queen and it's a young boy dressed up as a little girl. That's all supposed to be just fine. And this is what's gone on with it. This so-called Desmond is amazing from New York. I saw a video yesterday. I think he's under the age of 10. And there's him dressing himself up as a drag queen, putting on lipstick, which we know is what women do to make themselves look more sexually attractive. And people say, no, it isn't. That's not why I wear lipstick. But the fact of the matter is, when a woman is ovulating and she's at her most fertile, her lips go red and her cheeks go red. And that's what people are imitating when they wear makeup. So you've got a 10-year-old boy who's trying to make himself look like he's sexually receptive, or that is the effect. And he's talking about how he's an LGBTQ activist, like someone who's under the age of 10, who's talking about how he's a homosexual activist. And nobody says, what's going on here? What's going on here? Surely the parents need to be investigated. The parents haven't been investigated. And this Desmond is amazing is promoted. Being promoted as if it's a wonderful thing. And now we've got these books that are being promoted to children as if they're a wonderful thing. And we've got this huge increase in children with gender dysphoria. Harper Kids, part of HarperCollins, has 37 LGBTQ children's books listed on its website, of which 9 have a transgender theme. Mother of 4, Julia Williams, who has 30 years experience working in the publishing industry, including a spell in children's books, said, "Publishers are not just getting into this out of the goodness of their hearts. They think there is a market and they think these books will be popular." Yeah, popular amongst these liberal parents that want to latch on to the latest trend. And this is an artificial trend. It's come down right from the top. It's come down being promoted by the government, by the equalities law. Hasn't come up from the bottom. It hasn't come up from a huge push from the tiny percentage of transvestites that we used to have to try and get these ideas promoted to children under the guise of, oh, it's going to make their gender dysphoria a little bit easier to bear. But the side effect of that is there's going to be 1,000 times more kids with gender dysphoria. I mean, if you look at it like that, it's like, well, surely you should stop doing it then. Surely it's better that some of them might be a little uncomfortable rather than you have 1,000 more of them, all with the discomfort of gender dysphoria. And you say you've got these parents that think that they're doing a good thing. You've also got pedophiles that think that it's going to give them easier access. And now you've got these publishers that think they're going to be making a lot of money out of it as well, because these schools have to show that they're following equality law. So these schools have to buy these books and they have to make them available to the children. There are growing claims by authors that there is a climate of intolerance within the publishing industry for anyone who disagrees with transgender ideology. Well, it's not just within the publishing industry, is it? There's a climate of intolerance for anyone that disagrees with the promotion of these ideas. That's the origin of this word transphobic and homophobic. That's where these words come from, because they're just there to shut down dissenting voices that disagree with this. Children's book authors Rachel Rooney and Gillian Philip ceased writing for young people after they both received a backlash when they became embroiled in the trans debate. And of course, we've also got J.K. Rowling, who very courageously has spoken up about this and the promotion of this. And you've got some book publishers that are removing her name from the books that she's created. They're deliberately putting in trans characters into the computer games. And you've got people that are literally threatening to physically attack her because she says there are only two sexes and a man cannot change into a woman. Separately, a row has recently broken out over the inclusion of young adults' book Welcome to St. Hell, My Trans Teen Misadventure on this year's Waterstones Children's Prize shortlist. I mean, you could look at this and at best, you know, it's political promotion, isn't it? It's promotion of political ideas, very, very left-wing ideas. And at the worst, it's encouraging children to have lifelong gender dysphoria and all the problems that are associated with that. This is on the Children's Prize shortlist. So we have to see whether it does actually win the prize. I suspect it probably will, if it's the only book that's on transgenderism in there, because they will want to show their support for diversity, won't they, at Waterstones. HarperCollins, in a blog post on the benefits of LGBTQ plus books for kids, said LGBTQ plus books benefit all students by providing them with meaningful messages of acceptance and encouragement. So that's what they say they're doing this for. They want kids that identify as like this to have acceptance and encouragement. But if what it does is cause a massive increase in the number of these kids, surely it's not worth doing that damage. I go back to this idea, gender dysphoria. It's not something to be celebrated. It must be awful to think that you're born in the wrong body. And there's been a thousands of percent increase in the number of kids identifying as with gender dysphoria after the promotion of these books. So you could say for every one of these kids that feels a little bit more included, there's probably another 100 kids, maybe more than that, that never would have been gender dysphoric in the first place if they hadn't started promoting these books to them. This is what I'm saying. We don't seem to be using any common sense about this. I mean, the argument is, well, we need to put children first. I mean, that's what they're saying here, isn't it? They're saying we need to put children first and we need them all to feel accepted. We need them all to feel encouraged. But if in order to do that, you end up with thousands of kids with gender dysphoria, then that's not putting children first, is it? That's causing untold damage to them. I'm so glad that this transgender trend exists and that they're drawing attention to this, because, you know, people used to say back in the 90s, there were these crazy books that crazy leftists would give to their children. And now those books are being targeted at all children in nurseries, in libraries, in all the schools, in all the primary schools. This stuff is in there, encouraging kids to be gender dysphoric, encouraging kids to have psychological trauma for the rest of their lives, just under the excuse that, well, for the ones that already have this psychological trauma, it will make life a little bit better for them. But surely the ones with the psychological trauma, once they grow up, they'll be thinking, well, I really don't want anybody else to be going through this. And yet they don't. That's why it seems to me as if there is this support for this, and they know that this is just going to encourage more kids with gender dysphoria, and that seems to be the goal of it. Because otherwise, they would all be standing up and saying, "No, this is wrong. This is wrong, and I do not wish other children to go through the suffering that I went through when I was a child." I mean, it's very sad to think that people might think that way, that might wish harm upon the rest of society and the weakest members of society just because they've gone through it. But I don't know how else you can look at it, really, because surely they must be able to see that this is causing a huge increase in the number of kids with gender dysphoria. So perhaps they do think it's a good thing. It's a thing worth celebrating, you know, to be unhappy in the body that you're in. Well, Equalitech, who promote all this stuff, they did not respond to requests for comment. But I do recommend people check out Transgender Trend and also check out John K. Euler's Twitter feed. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.